So in this video, I would like to introduce you to what I'm hoping you're going to find to be quite an interesting idea. We're going to call this metaprogramming. Now, I haven't invented this. You're not going to find this in too many life coaching textbooks or programs, because I've pinched this from neurolinguistics programming. Now, metaprogramming hasn't got anything to do with values. It's not got really got anything to do with motives. It's not actually got anything to do with thoughts. And it doesn't have anything to do with beliefs. Metaprogramming is more to do with our approach to life. It's more to do with our innate natural preferences or our natural inclinations, how we're naturally inclined to do things. Now, our metaprogramming happens and is established on an unconscious level. So most people aren't aware of this. You know, when I say that people don't do the things that they do for the reasons that we would naturally be inclined to think that they do them? Well, if you're not sick of hearing me say that by now, then you will be by the end of the course, but metaprogramming is why that statement is true. You see, let me just, now I'm only going to give you 5 examples here, all right? There are plenty of books that you can read, you can study NLP or even hypnotherapy, which spend, you know, quite a bit of time focusing on this in a lot more detail, but here I felt it'd be useful to build this into the course so that you fundamentally understand the types of people who are going to be coming your way and also the perspectives that they're going to be bringing into the life coaching relationship. You see, we've already touched on this in relation to core values, which is why I know you're going to understand this. There are some people who are naturally more inclined to commit to moving away from the things that they don't want, opposed to moving towards the things that they do want. Now, we'll understand this as we relate back to that whole section on core values where I got really passionate and my throat dried out and all these sorts of things. You see, some people will spend their whole lives running away from the things that they don't want. And it's important that you understand this as a life coach. Because if someone's coming to you looking for life coaching to help them get away from what they don't want, well, that's not a sustainable goal. That's not a goal that's going to captivate them, that's going to inspire them or motivate them or spur them to get out of bed in the morning and actually do stuff about it. This, what we're talking about here is negative motivators and positive motivators. This is the difference between what we don't want and what we actually do want. Because some people are going to come to you saying, yeah, I just want some life coaching to help me lose weight. Or I want some life coaching to help me feel better about myself or something like that. And these problems are people coming to you just wanting to get away from what it is they don't want, generally a physical state or an emotional state or something along those lines. So if you understand this, it's going to make a lot of sense. You're never going to be able to get a breakthrough with someone if they're focused on what they don't want opposed to what they do. So our metaprogramming can sometimes just be asking a series of questions, which we're going to be looking at throughout the section anyway, to get people away from this type of metaprogramming and towards this type, away from negative motivations and towards more positive motivations that are actually going to inspire them. Because we haven't even started looking at goal setting yet, and believe it or not, that's actually one of the easiest sections now that we've kind of covered and we've gone thus far. All right, understanding people is absolutely crucial. It's the most challenging part of life coaching, actually understanding people. But once you understand them, and therefore then once you understand the questions that you can ask to help them get clear on what they actually do want, well, no one's going to disagree with you when you say, okay, so what you don't want is you don't want to be fat or you don't want to feel anxious anymore. That's okay. But there's one question that we can use. So if that's what you don't want, well, what do you want? What do you want? Now, there's a couple of really cool frameworks and techniques that I'm going to share with you throughout the section and the sections that follow that are going to enable you to establish what it is that people do want relatively quickly so that you can get them focused and you can remove their focus off the negative and onto the positive in as short a time as physically possible. So moving on. There are some people who are going to come to you who are externally referenced, where there are those who are going to come to you who are internally referenced. All right. So people who are externally referenced generally live most of their lives outside of their heads. So people who don't think about stuff too much. They might have moments of reflection every now and again, but generally your externally referenced people are your doers in life. They're the people who get shit done, all right? Externally referenced people are people who are relating all things to all things all of the time. They'll see one person over here conducting themselves in a certain way, then they'll be relating that to a movie that they watched over there around about 3 weeks ago. Or they'll be connecting this person's attitude to that person's attitude. Or they might be looking at the economy and say, ah, okay, opportunity cost. So if the government invests in this, it's going to come at the cost of that. They're just very, very good at being able to connect the dots in things that are going on outside of them. These people who are externally referenced are generally going to be found to be quite insightful. They're going to have quite a good understanding, quite a good grounded knowledge of life. But sometimes a problem with being externally referenced, now if I'm going to be honest here and put my hands up, I am quite externally referenced. Sometimes, in fact most of the time, I will act without thinking. And it's not because I'm thoughtless. It's actually because I'm just very focused. I understand people, and I understand the most effective ways to interact and engage and bring out the best in people, which is my motive. So because I understand what my motives are, my actions are just always connecting the dots. How could I connect that person with that person? Networkers, for example. Networkers are phenomenal. People that connect people with people. There's a guy that I know here in Scotland, a guy called Chris Marr. He founds the Content Marketing Academy. Possibly one of the most effective externally referenced people that I know. Every time I have a conversation with Chris, he connects me with someone really interesting, someone quite unique, who's just the person that I was looking for at that moment in time. How he does this? I'm not quite sure. I haven't quite got to that level yet, but it's just innate. It just comes naturally to him. Whereas people who are internally referenced, all right, they're going to be, you could ask them a question, you could present them with a problem, and rather than just getting stuck in about solving or resolving the problem, they just stop and think. Try to think back to some point in the past where they experienced the same or a similar situation, and what you might recognise in internally referenced people is just, we call it the Glaikit stare in Scotland, and the Glaikit stare is like this, where you just lose them. They just go to some other little planet, some other little world, a million miles away, and they completely disengage from the conversation because they are thinking. They just get consumed in thought. They fall inside of themselves. And this is the difference between externally referenced people and internally referenced people. Internally referenced are looking to connect the dots to similar situations or circumstances that they can relate to, that they've been involved in, and that they can experience. But what they're missing is all the rest and everything else that's going on in the outside world. So, generally the difference between the doers and the talkers or the thinkers, all right? And it's not that one's better than the other. Again, in similarity to the wise mind illustration that I made in the last video, it's good for us to understand this stuff so we can strive for balance. If we can find, you know, a mutual ground somewhere in between, then it means that as life coaches, we're going to be able to relate to both types. And bear in mind, it's not that someone's going to be away from, someone could be an away from internally referenced person, or someone could be an away from externally referenced person, or a towards externally mismatcher. People are messy. You can't categorize or stereotype anyone. All that you're ever going to be able to do is discern by watching, observing, and paying attention, all right? So your observation skills are incidentally going to have to become phenomenal if you want to go down this road and this fascinating profession. So we'll have the difference now between mismatchers and matchers. And this is an interesting one because mismatchers can often be perceived as the most argumentative and awkward arseholes going. And it's not that they intend to be, it's just if you were to say to them, or make a mere observation, say, oh, you know, I watched this movie this time, or I watched the movie today, and it was kind of like that experience that we had over there. You're matching, you're connecting one experience to another experience that was similar. And the mismatcher is just not going to do that. They're going to say, no, it's not. No, it's not like that at all. It's actually just, it's kind of the complete opposite of that. Now, I don't know if that makes sense, but matchers are looking to match information, where mismatchers will naturally look at what it isn't. So a mismatcher comes to you with a problem or an issue in their life, and you might ask questions to understand what the problem's like for them. Well, is it like this? Is it like this? And the mismatcher says, no, it's not like that. No, it's not like that. It's just not like that. And as a coach, you might feel that they're being completely standoffish or argumentative or resistant to your support. But it's actually just how they present and how they interpret the world and information. And now for them, they're being completely normal. But for you, they're being completely standoffish or resistant or whatever. And when we understand this, it allows us to extend grace once again as we learn how to unconditionally accept other people through the appreciation and through appreciating that all people are completely different. So we then have global thinkers and we have detailed thinkers. And this one's probably quite self-explanatory. Global thinkers are the big thinkers. They're the ones that have their heads in the clouds, they've got a vision, they know roughly where they're going in life, and they're the people that make a mess, all right? They're literally out there, they're pursuing the goals and the dreams and the visions, and the trail of destruction that they leave behind can often be quite extensive. And this is where the detailed thinkers come in. Every global thinker in the world is going to be 10 times more effective or productive partnering up with a load of detailed thinkers, because all the detailed thinkers they don't actually know where he's going or she's going. They can't really relate. All they're completely aware of is the mess that they're making. So what they take responsibility for is all the finite details. They tidy up all the mess. Global thinkers are thinking huge. They're looking at change. I'm going to change the world. You know, the Gandhis of the world, Mother Teresa's, even Adolf Hitler on one controversial level. But they're the global thinkers, the people that want to bring about huge phenomenal change. But the detailed thinkers say, yeah, that's nice, how? And how's that going to work? And how's that going to work? Global thinkers will say, I don't care, just make it work. Just make it work. I know, because I'm generally quite a big thinker. I hate getting caught in details. This is my natural metaprogramming preference. But it's not that one's better than the other. What I've found in recent years is, as a global thinker, the more detailed thinkers that I can partner up with, guess what? The faster and the further I go. And what's true for me is most likely also going to be true for you. So I hope this makes sense. And then the last metaprogramming set of preferences that I'm wanting to share with you, the difference between proactive people and reactive people. And we've already touched on this in the emotional management awareness section of the course as well. Because there are some people who are naturally more inclined to just proactively take risks and chances and step outside of the comfort zone and go, 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 go. Some people in life, you don't have to inspire, you don't have to motivate or encourage or anything. Proactive people are the self-starters. They're the Richard Bransons of the world, the guys who build huge international corporations that leave massive legacies behind. Your pop stars like Madonna, for example, she's proactively pursuing her goals and her wants and her preferences and her values in life. She's doing everything within her power to proactively get what she wants, regardless of what she wants. Whereas reactive people generally won't budge until the whole world is literally collapsing. Their reactive people will generally be naturally more inclined to stay safe, stick to the comfort zone, what they're comfortable with, what they know, the value, security. They like the idea of freedom, but it's just too scary. but it's not fulfilling because it's not getting them what they want and they're not particularly fulfilled. Now, reactive people are people who will generally react more to their emotions. In the wise mind illustration from a couple of videos ago, reactive people who operate more in the emotional part of their mind. Proactive people who generally will operate more in the reasonable, rational part of their mind. And people who are effectively proactive, because bear in mind you can get some proactive people who are really proactive but they're not effective. Some people will be proactive and they'll just be busy fools who strive, go, 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 but they don't actually get anywhere in life and they never actually accomplish anything. Again, if we can now integrate these two models together, we've got the metaprogramming preferences, proactivity and reactivity, somewhere in between, when we can begin to discern the wise and the right choices that we need to make in order to actually get closer to our ideal outcomes, our true self concepts, our visions, our dreams, our goals, our aspirations, or whatever. So, I hope that all of this makes sense. In the additional materials section, there's a printout, a fact sheet. I'm just going to urge you to read through. There's these meta-programming preferences and a few more. But if you want to understand this more, if you have understanding people, there's a couple of books that I'll recommend right towards the end of the course in the recommended reading list, which are more NLP based, or alternatively jump across to our NLP certification course. But this is a fascinating idea, and it will offer you, and it can give you a great framework for really becoming able to relate and connect with other people in far more effective ways, which over the next few videos, I'm going to share with you a few more frameworks and a few more ways of thinking that's going to hopefully help you to understand how to do this in far more effective ways also. So hope this makes sense, and I'll look forward to seeing you again in the next clip.